Good morning, everybody. Friday, Mary rang me up and she said, "Do you want to do family prayer?" And as most of you know, you don't see me out here very often, so I'm not very gifted with all these things. And then this morning in my quiet time, I started praying about this. And it's not quite going to go to how we normally think it would, because Mary actually got up and spoke the two greatest commandments this morning, and that's what the Lord spoke to my heart. And I thought, after Mary said this, I thought, there's more to this than just family prayer. And now the first commandment, as Mary said, was to love our Lord God with all our heart, our mind and our soul, and to love our neighbours as ourself. So what does this mean with family prayer? It means that it's not up to me just to pray up the front for people, because there's so many people here, I don't know what their needs are, where they're walking in their life. But we're here as a family, and it's a family prayer. There's each one of us that has got somebody sitting beside us that we know more about, or a friend here we know more about. And it's about taking this love to that person and showing them how we feel, what we would like to tell them, what the Lord puts in our heart to tell them. And to me, that's what a family is about. That's what family prayer is, sharing this all the time with our family. So this morning, I just want to just wrap it up a little bit different and just give thanks to our Lord for where we are as a family. So, Father, I'd just like to bring to you the Vimpany family, Father. I think of Raylene, Gloria, Russell and Catherine. Father, the hurt and the heartache they have with the loss of Brian, Father, that you will really touch their hearts, draw them closer to you, that they may feel your amazing love. Lord, I think of Dave and Cheryl, Father, and all the family with them. Lord, the loss of Cheryl's dad, Father, I ask that you'll keep them safe as they travel down to the Central Coast, Father, that you'll be with them, Father, that this time they will feel your love too. And it's such a blessing, Father, to know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have an eternal life. But to those who love you, Father, know that this isn't a hope to look forward to, but this is an absolutely certainty. Father, for you don't tell lies. You have promised us that. So, Father, I just want to bring all those in the church that in all their various needs, Lord. I don't know them, but you know them personally. So, really, we don't even have to pray, Father. You already know our thoughts and our prayers. But, Father, I just ask that the power of your Holy Spirit will come upon them all, lift them up, strengthen them. May your arms wrap around them and may they feel your true love. Amen.
This morning we have two readings and also reading from the ESV. So the first reading comes from Malachi 3, verses 1 to 5. So Malachi 3, 1 to 5. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. The second reading comes from Mark chapter 1, the first 13 verses. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him.
Thank you, Brother Gary and Brother Simo. Good morning, church family. I just loved how Simo encouraged us and how we started by thinking about being a church family and how important family is. So thank you, Simo, for that introduction. But what I want to just give you a moment to do is, there may be a prayer that's on your heart that you didn't get to share with someone, that you'd like a prayer request to just to do that now, or something that stood out to you from Malachi or from Mark as we had that read. So just have a moment to reflect with someone, and I'm just going to get set up here, but you've got a couple of minutes to do that. Go for it. Okay, thank you, friends. Sorry to interrupt your conversations, but please continue those and continue on with as a church family and sharing our life together. I want to say last week we had Visioning Sunday, if you weren't here, and some people had visions of a clean-cut pastor. Sorry, you got the scruffy one. One of the John the Baptist kind of looking one, maybe. Fits in theme with today. But before that, we did our 7 days of prayer, and I'm really proud of us as a church doing that, and I think that's a really good practice. I was really confirmed in that too. I was away for the week at a conference, and one of the things of a healthy church, or a characteristic of an agile church that can adjust and move and healthy, was that they did were devoted to God in prayer, and they did kind of prayer walks in their community, and were getting out and praying. So that was something that was really confirming and encouraging for me. And look forward to it next year, and hopefully it'll only build as we come before our Father in prayer. So that was our 7 days of prayer, moving into our Vision Sunday. But today we start our introduction to Mark. And I'm going to bring that together in prayer, so I'll ask you to pray with me. Dear Lord and God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you are so loving, that you have spoken, you have given us your word, and we commit this time to you now. We want to devote this time to you and this series as we spend time looking at you, Lord. Looking intently at you, Lord Jesus, your ministry and the work of your Spirit. And we pray, Lord God, that you might lift our eyes to you and we might get a greater sense of what it is to be in service of you, in ministry for you, and Lord Jesus, how you led the way in that, and how you show us the way. So please minister to our heart now, serve, we ask, Lord God, and show us more about your service. This we ask in the name of Jesus. And the church family said, amen. Amen. Action movies. Are you into them? Who's into them? Okay, Mary, what's the action movie of 2023? Where's Mary? Oh, she's taking them. Oh, there you are. Did you see any? There's a few of them here. I just saw a quick score. Anyone, Mission Impossible, do they see that? You're into Tom? You know, a little bit of Tom fans out there. Or Keanu, anyone into Keanu? John Wick, I don't even know that movie. That there was a movie last year. Some people are indicating that they saw it. Action movie or Godzilla, minus one. Maybe into Tejeki, I think his name is, the producer there. Anyway, action movies. They're intense, they're rapid, they move quickly, they're fast action, and Mark is a little bit like that. The Gospel of Mark is a little bit like that. If Mark was a movie, I wonder what movie you'd think it was. But there is a word that kind of pushes us along in Mark and keeps the intensity high and the interaction high, and it's this word here, immediately or straight after. Euthus is the Greek word for it. It happens like over 40 times in the Gospel. And then it goes on, and then, and then, and then. Has anyone seen that movie? Yeah, that's a comedy from the 2000s. Dude, that's not my car, if you've seen it. Anyway, Mark as a movie would be high-paced and intense. Keep looking out for that, and then, or straight away, as we go through it. Mark as a story. I have a book in my bag there. I didn't bring it up here with me. It's called Mark as a Story, and it's looking at the literary devices and the way that Mark is crafted together and how it uses different literary techniques, and it sandwiches stories together. Like you see in movies sometimes, you know, when it cuts from one scene, goes back to the other. Mark does all this kind of stuff. And Mark as a composition of literature is amazing. And I don't know, that might stir you if you're a writer lover. You're into anyone into writing festivals? A love for writing festivals? No one? Is anyone a wordsmith here? Unconfessed wordsmith? Well, if you are, look out for that. Mark is a story. It's really cleverly done. And it's amazingly how the story fits together. So look out for things like that. But here's my challenge with Mark as a story is this. I want to challenge you to read it in one go. If you're not into reading, don't worry. Listen to it. Get your phone to read it to you for you. Or actually, you can watch it. You can watch it in one go as well if you want to look at it. Lumo. Lumo on YouTube, you can watch it played out word for word, but it's acted out some of it if you want to watch it. But here's my challenge. It takes like an hour, 20, I think it's 23, okay? That's the amount of time that it takes to get on a plane at Ballina and fly to Sydney. I worked that out this week. not this week. I was a little bit distracted because there was other people on the flight with me. There was two youth groupers I found that were going to Sydney as well. There was Karen and Alan trying to get to Europe where they were going. And there was John Wilson as well. But you need an hour and a half. And my challenge is to do it in one sitting, no interruptions. Okay, so find a time, find a space. If you like reading, read it out for an hour and a half. If you like watching, watch it. If you like listening, listen to it. Are you willing to take this challenge? One episode, watch it all together. There's my Mark challenge for you. See how you go with it this week. But Mark as a book. Mark as a book and the book in the Bible. It's probably the first gospel that was written. You see Matthew and Luke borrow from it heavily. And it only has a small amount of verses that are significant to Mark. It's the shortest, snappiest. It's the shortest of the gospels. But it has the most miracles recorded in it, interestingly. As you go through, notice these things. It starts with an introduction very quickly, gets into the action very quickly. We see John the Baptist, who we meet and who we just heard. We hear about baptisms of Jesus. Then we see his temptation. And then the ministry of Jesus. Then we'll kind of really be following along the ministry of Jesus with that focus verse of Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. So we'll see his service, we'll see ministry, and hopefully we get a better understanding of the ministries that we are involved in. The ministry that Jesus will do is mainly, we'll look at the first half of the book, and we'll be looking at that ministry that he does in Galilee and those surrounding areas of that countryside. People here and myself have visited that landscape, and you might have an idea, or you might want to speak to someone who has seen some of that geography, which helps us to understand the context of some of Mark as a book. But let's get into Mark as a man. Mark is a man himself. Who was he? What did he do? Where did he come from? Well, Mark, we know, or we get to understand, his name is a Roman name. But he had two names. Anyone here have two names? You probably have a middle name as well. It was Mark John. John is his Jewish name, or his ethnic name. So we have Mark John, two names. We see there, so there's some sort of influence from both those worlds. It's living in the Roman world, but it's a Greek world as well, and it's Jewish. You know, the Jewish people, there's a big people group of Jewish people. They have a large population, and it does get a little bit confusing when there's two names as well, because John is a pretty popular one too, isn't it? There's a few Johns about. But as you look through Acts and as you kind of piece it together and start to work out who Mark is, you meet him in Acts 12. He says it's John, who is also called Mark. There we find out he has two names. You find out that his mother's also Mary. That gets even a little bit more confusing as well, isn't it? People with mothers as Mary, and you got John and lots of other Johns. And so it gets a little bit of confusing, but we know that he actually, or we know that Peter knew him, because the Apostle Peter knew him, and he says in one of his letters, and you can check out there what he says, but he says that he was he sends greetings. So he was a fellow worker with the Apostle Peter at some stage. That this is Mark, knows Peter. He also knows Paul. And if we follow the story along in Acts, we go from Acts 12 to Acts 13, we see that the Apostle Paul, he is a fellow worker with Barnabas. So he's working with now Paul and Barnabas early on, it seems, and Mark. But at this stage where Mark left them, or he withdrew, or one translation puts, he deserted them. In Mark 15, we find this out. And Paul refused then to take him with. He says he's not coming on the next journey with us. And so we have this separation of the teams then. Barnabas went with Mark, his cousin, and there's a new team in Paul and Silas. And so you can follow that story through in Acts 12 to 15. Paul does come to be reinstated with him. And Paul says in the letters at the end of Colossians 4, they got the reference there. Paul says he's a fellow worker and he's a cousin of Barnabas, which you find out. And at the end of his letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, he says he's helpful to me. And so you can see the restoration that happens there and the ministry that goes on and the fellow work that he has with these different people. Interesting guy, right? And interesting connections and people that he mixed with. In the Gospel of Mark itself, what do we found out? Well, it's possibly the place where they had the Passover meal, the upper house. Maybe that was Mark's place. But at that time, or you know, his family's place. At that time, we know that he is a young man. And he's a young man who follows them, Jesus and the disciples, into the Garden of Gethsemane. And then in the garden, when there is about to be a rest on, he does a runner and gets scared. And it seems there he's not named, but it's talked about of one who flees naked. Well, I think he had his undergarment on, but he's lost his coat. You know, someone grabbed him and ended up with just a coat in his hand. And so he flees. That's in Mark 14, 52, if you want to have a look at that. But this is Mark as a man. Are you getting a picture? Getting an idea, getting a feel for who he is? Well, what about Mark as a drama? Has anyone heard of Mark as a drama? The Mark drama. Anyone heard of it? A few of us. Okay. This is a commitment to memorize, and it's a commitment to invite people along to hear the gospel. Now, the power of this thing is in words, the word of, as in the Bible words. It's not a big production with costumes and with props. It's done just by using the word of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send a messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. Behold, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. And so John came baptizing and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the people in the Judean countryside and in Jerusalem were going out to him to be baptized. And they were baptized, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Mark, as a drama, uses the words and the word of God to actually speak into people's lives. Now, we could possibly do that as a drama here, couldn't we? If there are a few people who are committed to actually memorizing the scripture, if all of us are committed to inviting people along and they're willing to sit for an hour and a half and hear that word spoken out, there's an opportunity for us in the Mark drama. Think about it. Let me know if you're interested. And let's see where that heads. But Mark 1, 1-13. Let's have a look at it, hey? It says this is the beginning of the gospel. The gospel, this is the euangelion in Greek. The good news. This is the announcement to be made. It's like good news. Someone's engaged. Or someone's having a baby. There's good news to be actually spoken out and announced. But this announcement and this story is about Jesus. Now, in those days, there were gospels or announcements that would go out in the empire. Things would be heralded in the lands and the message would go out. This message is about the Son of God. This announcement is about the Son of God. And so we also pick up a little bit of Mark's audience or who he's speaking to. Because he mentions the Son of God. He's not afraid to mention the name of God. Maybe he's writing to more, actually, people from a non-Jewish background. You know where Matthew, when he's writing, he'll say the kingdom of heaven. He won't say the kingdom of God. And so Mark here may be writing more to an audience that are less Jewish. But it's about Jesus, that is Yeshua. God saves is the Hebrew name, Joshua. And Jesus Christ, that is Jesus the King, the anointed one, the kingly one. That's what this message is about. And it's a message from his story, history. Yeah, you with me? His story that goes back into Isaiah hundreds of years ago. And so we have, there's the last kind of prophet that we have in the Old Testament is Malachi. We had that bit read, right? And there's like 400 years of nothing. It's like silence from the prophets. And then, boom, we have this message. And Mark quotes Malachi 3. And he mentions that the angel, the angel announcing he's going to prepare the way. And then we have that quote from Isaiah. And Isaiah's in kind of two sections, two books. And the book of salvation is the second section, starting from chapter 40. It's like a new book starts. And bang, it's to prepare the way. There's a great announcement to be said. And so we have both quoted there. Mark doesn't attribute that to Malachi, that first bit. Maybe that's because, Malachi is picking it up or a word from Isaiah beforehand. He said, I will send my messenger ahead of you and he will prepare your way. A voice of the one crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Make the road straight. Here's an announcement. Here he comes. Are you ready for it? And so we meet actually John, who comes to prepare the way. John comes. He's baptizing in the desert region. And he's proclaiming or he's preaching baptism for the repentance of sins. Now, John the Baptist is preparing a way. This is really contrast to the way of what has been going on. You know, his contrast character to those Pharisees in those nice robes and those long flowing garments. He's a ruffian. He's wearing camel's hair and eating out in the bush. He's a bushy. And so he's very contrasted, isn't he? And it's a very contrast message or a new way of relating to God as people are going out into the desert. They're not going to some sacred temple. They're going out into the countryside. And so it's a contrast of character and it's contrast of a message which he brings of what is being maybe spoken about of those times. And he's preaching and he's proclaiming a message. He's preaching repentance, that is, people's lives to be turned around, saying, people, you're actually going the wrong way. You need to turn around. You need to do a U-ey. You're heading the wrong way. That road, where it keeps going, it's like a cliff that falls off. You need to turn around. And so he's calling out to people to repent. And the way you do that is to turn back to God and to call out to him and ask for forgiveness, because your life is heading the wrong way. If you're actually living your own life. And so he's calling people to turn and to turn to this one that would come after him. So his message then is, there's one after me. He's actually got a way better message than me. He's way better. I can't have a look here, what he says. The whole Judean countryside and the people in Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John was clothing was made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And here John makes a big contrast, doesn't he? He's saying, my baptism is a water baptism, but there's a much greater baptism that you need. And it's the baptism of God's Spirit. His Spirit coming upon you and coming into your life as you turn back to God and confess your sins and accept his Spirit, the gift of his Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And you may be thinking, well, why is Jesus baptized there? Identifying with the message, one who didn't need to repent of any sin, but it seems here he's identifying with the message that was being spoken of, and one identifying with the people. What he was leading the way in. And so he was baptized. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Do you get the picture? Do you close your eyes and see the image? And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Note that. And notice when that is spoken again. And see how that is used for rhetorical effect. But here we have it here, John the Baptist coming. And I don't know how you see it or the image that you get, but it's kind of depicted in The Chosen. If you want to check it out, have a look at it sometime. But isn't it amazing to think about, people are flocking. People are coming out from where they are. And this is bigger than Swifty, right? This is a way bigger thing. As people come out from Judean countryside and Jerusalem. and they're pouring out, they're actually confessing and they're seeking a new way of life. Well, let's think about how we might apply that briefly as we're here in this section. And I want to ask you this question: what are we preaching? What are we proclaiming as a church and as a church family? What is it we individually are proclaiming? And what are we announcing? What are we saying to people? Are we saying to people, actually, this road you're living, as good as it is on the far north coast, and yeah, you might think you're in heaven, we're actually going the wrong way. And are we actually telling people that actually we need to turn from those kind of things and these earthly things that we're investing in? They're not going to last. They're temporary. And are we calling people, actually, we need to get back to God. We need to know our Maker, our Creator. And we're actually really broken people when you start to look around and you start to scratch below the surface. We actually need a Savior. We need to come before God and we need to fess up to Him. We need to call out to Him. There's good news, but you can actually find forgiveness. And you can come into relationship with Him. You can have a new and fresh start. You know what? He even gives you His Spirit to go with you. This is crazy. Is that the message we're telling to people? Is that what we're proclaiming from the front, from our lives? When we are with our friends, is that the message we're saying and we're living? Or we live in the dream, so to speak? It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a different life. It's a contrast life. But as we go on, we see the baptism that happens there of Jesus. It's depicted in season 4. It's not out yet, so don't look for it yet. It'll come soon. But you get a chance to maybe watch it in The Chosen. But Jesus is baptized, and I said, identifying with the message and with mankind or humankind, says there that He is the Son whom God loves and is well pleased. And you'll see that again, pick up at the end if you listen to it this week. Have a listen for that and where that's said. But we see here, straight after that, what happens after He's announced as this amazing Son of God and the loved one and the one who God is well pleased with and how He's lived and conducted His life? It says at once, the Spirit, that He had a Spirit-led life. The Spirit led Him into the desert. It's a challenge. Do you think, how are we letting the Spirit lead us in our life? The Spirit-led life and the Spirit-filled life led Him into the desert. And He was in the desert for 40 days being tempted by Satan. And the wild animals, and He was with the wild animals. And the angels attended Him. It's an amazing scene, isn't it? But what is Jesus doing there? Why is He sent straight into the desert and the desert life? And for 40 days, that's a fair whack of time, right? And we don't catch up here on the temptation exactly. We're just told that it happened. We're told that the wild animals were around Him. A bit scary, isn't it? But there's angels who actually walk Him through and guide Him through, minister to Him through this time. But it's a refining time, it's a preparing time, it's setting Him up for the ministry that He'll go into and that He will start in the very next verse. And so this is this refining time for Jesus as He spends time alone, as He spends time. And they say in Israel, you know, if you want to get rich, you go north because it's green and it's wealthy up there and the kings kind of went up there. If you want to get wisdom, go south. It's a desert. And you're in the lonely places and you're forced to work out who you are and what you're on about and who you're going to trust and how you're going to live with such little water around you and such scarcity. But it refines and it prepares Jesus ready for this ministry that He'll burst into. And again, I suppose that is a chance for us to apply that as we start the year and burst into the year and some of our ministries are already started. How are we prepared for that? how are we walking into the ministry for 2024? And are we ready for that? Or do we need to go away and do a bit more rethinking, a bit more praying, a bit more time with the Lord and considering His voice, hearing His heart on where He'd like us to take the ministry, to take His ministry, how He would like us to minister. One of the things I'm doing with the ministry leaders today is thinking about us as ministry leaders, and we'll have a little bit of time to think about that after the service. But I encourage you all to think about whatever and however you serve in ministry, to what degree and what variety of ministries you're involved in, to take that time to do that and reflect, hear God, hear His voice, ask for the Spirit to lead you and prepare you as we start in this new year and this new season. Well, there's a bit of a wrap. Mark, in conclusion, wrapped up in that verse, as Jesus says, that He didn't come to be served like some palatial king, but He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And encourage us to continue to think about ministry, how we serve, how we minister. This year, whatever way you do that, or however you might step into that, and to think about the message we proclaim, the message we preach, and how we go about doing that. Hope you've had some thoughts. Hope the Lord has put His Spirit has put some things into your heart as we've been thinking and as we asked Him to, as we prayed at the beginning. And hopefully you've got something to share with someone about what God is stirring in your heart or what He's doing, where the Spirit is connecting with you and what He's pointing out to you this morning. But how about I wrap this up, but remind you that next week we'll continue this journey, and I'll start from verse 14. Now, Nick will be here. He's a guy from Sydney. You can read a little bit more about him in the front of your newsletter. But he'll continue on the journey as Jesus is preaching, as He's proclaiming the gospel, that announcement, that good message, and as He's calling His very first disciples. Let me pray. Dear Lord God, I want to thank You so much for that good message of the great hope that we have of forgiveness when we so humble ourselves and bow our knee and come before You in repentance and say, Lord, that we have got it wrong and we are sorry. And Father, we pray that that message of forgiveness, of repentance, will go out from this church and this place, from our lives and into our community. And Lord God, as we think about the ministry that we're involved in this year, Lord, if we've just rushed into it and we've just got going with things, forgive us and help us to stop now and repent of that, to turn back to You and to call out to You and to give You the time to say, what is it, Lord? What is it You are calling to me to do? How are You prepared the way? Help us to stop and hear Your voice. And Lord and Holy Spirit, we thank You so much that You are the one who leads us and guides us. And so this we ask, that You may lead us and guide us into this week and into this year. And we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. And the church family said, Amen.